She'll have a good time.
Nope. I think gay bars, you know, not for me. Surprisingly, because cultural
differences.
Not cultural, because that sounds crazy. Lifestyle differences. You know?
I don't think cultural differences sounds as crazy as you think in this situation. There's definitely a whole gay culture.
I witnessed it.
This chair hurts my back.
It's because it's a massage thing on it.
I'm like, how is it?
Yo, Nick, every time I'm here, I take the shit off before I sit down.
I'm sorry.
There's definitely a gay stereotype. I didn't think that was a real thing until I got to that bar. So I went out with a couple of friends last night. One of us was gay, and his father just passed away.
Why couldn't you just say
he didn't? No. I'm explaining the context. He is one of us. His father just passed, and his cousins wanted to, you know, help him have a good time for the first time he's ever been to New York, to kind of like cope with the loss or whatever.
Right.
So we get to the first bar. I didn't know we were walking to a gay bar. I saw the pride flags on top. But, you know, I'm like, oh, everyone's accepting. It's cool.
So he just immediately was just like, you know what?
It's just New York.
Yeah, you know? You know, it is what it is.
Oh, my God.
All right, but first eyebrow raise is the bouncer dude going, hey, guys, have your IDs out. Put your phones in your front pockets. Make sure they're secure. Watch your drinks at all times. Don't leave it unattended.
Hold on. I want to get into that first. For some reason,
pause.
I have been to one gay bar before, because it was a night where me, Edwin, his cousin, and his brother's girl. I feel bad. She's more than just his brother's girl. She's a human as well. So, all right, I'm gonna edit this. It was a night that me, Edwin, his cousin, and this woman that we were also out with, we all go, we're drinking, we are having a time. Like, we're going, and I think I was driving, so I wasn't really drinking. Like, yeah. I would have one drink per hour, basically. And I maybe had, like, maybe three drinks total that entire night.
Okay.
So, we go, and we're, like, bar hopping. So, we're all, you know, having a vibe. And then, like, some spots will be whack, so we'll be like, you know what? We just stopped here for a drink. Let's move to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
So, I see, like, this logo, and it's, like, a giant yellow sign with, like, a swirl on it. So, I'm like, oh, that, like, spot looks cool. Let's check it out. So, this woman...
Okay.
this woman... I think. I hope. I don't know.
You could have just said this woman, bro.
But I don't know if it was a woman.
And now, you have to quantify
this person,
that.
Yeah. So this person comes out with a list. And then the woman we're with, at least like 5'10", 5'11", maybe with heels on. She's like six. She's tall.
She's definitely like six something with heels on.
Exactly. So she has like a presence about her, so she became the group leader.
Definitely commands attention wherever she goes.
Exactly. So the woman walks out of the bar to get like some air, notices her, and then goes, do you want to come inside? And she was like, yeah, but I'm with three other people. The person then looks at us, literally looks us up and down, looks at Edwin, and then so now it gets even funnier.
Okay.
Because, and this is why I bring it up, because, like, you had to go through a whole check through. Like, it's like you're going through airport security to get it. This is what happened. The person went, are you gay, to the woman? No, I'm straight. Oh, it's okay. It doesn't matter. Looked at me, said, are you gay? I'm like, no, I like women.
Okay.
She was like,
that's crazy.
Like, she looked at me, she was like, you can come inside too, I guess. And then looked at the other two people we were with, and they lied and said that they were a couple because they were like, they didn't want to throw off the ratio.
Yeah.
So they were like, yeah, no, we're dating. And the person looked and went, eh.
Wow.
And that's how we ended up getting in for free, too. Like, they usually had, like, a cover charge of, like, $50.
Oh, God.
And there was only, like, 2 hours left, so the person was like, you know what? You guys get in there. and said the same exact thing. Hey, phones in your front. I'm like, I don't know what. So the gay thing is, you know, maybe the
niggas stealing phones. Gay yeah. niggas stealing phones.
Or maybe, like, you know, that's how they steal the phones. They go for an ass touch, take the phone out the back pocket. Boom.
That's a smooth move. That takes some slickness to grab an ass. But you're not expecting it
because you're gay. So somebody's touching your ass. And boom, now you just...
You turn around and you think, oh, who's that? But no, the nigga stole your phone. But you're dancing with this nigga now.
Exactly.
It's fucking ridiculous.
So, and then they also said, never leave a drink unattended.
Yeah.
And like when that person said that, they were like super serious. Like, yes. We were like joking around and they were like, no, for real, do not. So like, I was just like, oh. So with that being said, we should get into the lid business. And
make cup lids?
Cup lids. Like
for bars.
Yeah, bar cup lids where like you can only drink out of like you know like how Starbucks has it?
Yeah.
Do that. That just came to my head right now because that's a big business opportunity.
Pause on came bars, to my
yeah.
head.
Yeah.
Pause on came to my head because the context. But continue.
So yeah, I just wanted to go yeah, off of that. I think how there's a TSA line to get.
Yeah, it makes. It, by the way, that as a disclaimer before you walk in, not expecting to walk into a room with only men. Is crazy. Like when I walk through that first door, I turn around. My friend's coming in. You know, our one friend goes. He forgot to say and clench your buttholes. I went, what?
Wait. All right. So here's another thing. Here's another thing. When you walked in, did they let you in one at a time?
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah. One at a time. Not together.
You never go inside all at the same time. It's always a one at a time. So you never really.
You
know.
You gotta pass the vibe check.
Yeah. So once I get through the second door. I literally look around and go, oh, we're at a gay bar. And I look at the bartenders and I go, why are they all shirtless? Why is this like your uniform is to be shirtless as a bartender? But whatever, you know, it's cool. I get my drink. Our friends get their drinks. I look around and I've never seen so many homosexuality. And like within 30 minutes of my life, there's guys kissing against the wall to my right. Guys making out to the left. And I'm just like, wow, I've never seen this like. Live, so first time experiencing that in full effect. Our friend's sister is fully just having a time of her life, and then you know me, I'm dancing regardless. Except I have our two friends on each side of me.
So nobody's rubbing up on you.
So no one runs up on me. But there's definitely people.
What kind of music was being played?
I'm gonna call
house
it
music.
She was probably. Bumping,
you want to call it house music? I'll call it pop music. It was like very poppy, popular music, but like towards the EDM side of things.
Oh, okay.
Right? Like, not techno and not real EDM. I couldn't even, like, I didn't knew no songs that came on until they played Bad Bunny's verse for whatever reason.
Now, I do want to say, I might have went to the straightest gay bar of all time because there was girls looking at me and everybody else. And then, like, there was no guys looking at the girl that we were with that entire time. So she was like dancing freely, blah blah blah, mm-hmm. having a great time, you know, unharassed.
Yes,
I was the harassed one.
Huh?
Yeah.
Bro, but we like, were chill. The only people that interacted with us were other women.
Okay. Like, you get John. I don't know what it is, bro. You give off a vibe. Apparently, these niggas attract to you like a moth to a flame,
bro. So our friend's girlfriend and her cousin end up pulling up too, right? And he holds on to her. He goes, "Is this how you guys feel when you're alone at clubs?" Because my goodness, bro. There's this older white dude, right? And I've never felt like prey in my goddamn life until that moment.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. This dude, I could describe him to a T. He was a little taller than me, white hair, older, olive green t-shirt with like black shorts on, and he stared me down from deep.
He was trying to take you home.
Yes, he was, because he made his way around to us and got way too close for my comfort.
To be fair.
You have to assume that whoever's in a gay bar at any point.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not coming at him for like being.
No. I'm talking about from his. What?
Oh.
What did you just say?
For being into me. You're saying that it's fair that he approached me because he's probably something gay as well. Which, but, I get it, but...
You know, usually when guys walk into a party or go to a party, they're asking themselves, or asking outwardly, where the bitch is at?
Yeah. Hey, John, you are the bitch.
You are the answer to the bitches.
Yeah. Bro, it was literally, I was dancing for Sharona, and she's dancing, like, separately, not together, guys. Yeah, let me make that clear. right? Just vibing. And, like, she's getting attention from the other guys because, you know, she's Sharona. And when she moved out the way, that white man took that as a ticket to get closer.
Yeah, continue.
Yeah, he took that as a ticket to get closer to us. And, like, dance his way to us. I stopped dancing very quickly. And, again, a reason I call myself prey is because I now know what that feels like to be, like, stared down by another man. And you know it's sexual. And that's the worst part about it. Like, there's no, like, if, ands, and buts about it. That man.
There's some buts about it.
Mad buts, bro. Buts about like, it. In fact, it might be only buts about
it's
it.
It's your butt.
Yeah. My back was also against the bar wall. Oh,
God. You know, I think maybe I give off, like, a straight energy. Like, I've never been approached by another guy. Hey, so, I'm kind of glad, like, I live up to my name.
Yeah, man, me.
I'm a fucking man.
Not in high school.
Not that gay people aren't men. But.
In high school, this one guy asked me what time it was, and I was on the bus. And I thought he was just going to, like, rob my phone or some shit. But he hit me with the, it's dick sucking o'clock.
It's what?
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those things I'm never going to forget.
It's 6, 7 o'clock?
No, it's dick sucking o'clock. You heard me right the first time. And that is still the wildest thing I've ever been told by, like, a random man in the street. I guess who was flirting with me? I'm still not sure. But that didn't make me nearly as uncomfortable as the white guy last night. Right? So, at that point, Rashawn also points at that guy and then hugs me tightly and goes, yeah, John, I'm also uncomfortable. I'm like, all right, cool. We end up leaving that place because we got bored there. We go to another gay club.
Who was in charge of all of these places, by the way?
He said Sharona.
I'm going to say Sharona.
Yeah.
Because they were doing their cousin a favor. Or, I guess, you know, trying to lift up his spirits. By taking him to the gay dance clubs and stuff. So the next one, way more fun as a, like, a place to be in. Also way more mixed people, right? Like, it's not, it's super gay and there's a lot of men, but it's not just men, at least. Mm-hmm. And everyone looks like they're actually being more fun, and it has, like, a less sexual vibe. Like, that first place was definitely, like, I was put in a Barbie house and they're all Ken dolls. Right, everyone's wearing a tank top. Everyone has fishnet shirts on. I'm like, there is a stereotype that I didn't know existed. Most of them are white men, you know.
You're solidifying why I'm not going out with Rashawn. Look at the most random shit.
My nigga, stuff just happens whenever you go out with Rashawn. Stuff just happens. I told you, niggas, bro.
They don't know. Like, apparently in 2023, Rashawn doesn't know. Like, let's just go to a quick bar.
Yeah.
And fucking hang out. They want to go to glass breaking events.
That shit was fun.
Beer pong. One gay bar, fine. A whole night of gay
bars. A slew of gay bars.
It's excessive.
A line of gay bars.
It's excessive.
I was like, bro, what are you telling me right now?
Yeah. I'm glad that I didn't go, but hold the horses, guys. Like, let's do something else.
Hit shuffle, bro.
Did you go from one break bar to another break bar?
No
you changed it up. Like, one guy was gay, everyone else was straight. You could have went anywhere else. What's up with that?
Each of you could have had a choice to go, and y'all could have went from one joint to the next joint to the next joint to the next joint.
We could have.
They went from one thing to the same thing.
Yeah, I went from going to a gay bar to going to three and one.
You know, gay people also go to regular bars.
Yeah.
He had a fishnet shirt on. Someone would have noticed.
Yeah. They would have spotted him. Yeah.
And it rained yesterday.
Hard. We got caught in that.
He said, gay knows no limitations. Right? I know it's raining. I'm still going to wear a fishnet shirt. In the rain.
That is nuts, bro.
He was looking for that, actually.
Yeah, I mean, he was.
All right, bro.
But the second place we went to was more of a dance club. Super vibey, super cool. You know, low lighting, nice aesthetics. We get inside. Again, disclaimer given to us before we get in there. And I'm like, oh, this is really like a thing. This is just everywhere
we go.
Did
they talk to you about, oh my God, consent?
No.
No. They wanted to everybody to know. Listen, someone says no, it's a no, and if they bring it to us, you're kicked out. No questions asked. And I was like, oh, they should have that everywhere.
And every club, yes.
Yeah. Yes.
So apparently, that's the one club where consent is, you know.
And no, there's one in Brooklyn that's LGBTQ friendly.
Well, I don't know if you have to say the letters in order, Yeah, you made it.
You got everything, you know.
Yeah, it's very inclusive, essentially. But it's not a gay place. It's just inclusive. So they give you a disclaimer when you walk in for them. They're like, hey, consent's important here. Don't record people. It's not cool.
We will
ban you, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, we got a bunch of those.
Anyways, this place from last night, get in. Steve and I just really have to pee. Steve pays the cover charge. So he pays like $20 for us to get in. We get in. We go straight to the back. We don't know where the bathroom is. Mm-hmm. And this place goes from like looking very small to somehow expanding into this big auditorium space that I was just confused about. There are stairs in there that I could like climb over, but the dance floor is right there. I was very confused because the way I had to cut the people made no sense.
Yeah.
And when we walked in, it was a bar in the middle of the room, and then I could see nothing past that bar. So when we asked the bartender, hey, where's the bathroom? Then he points deep. I'm like, okay, I guess it's right there. And then we just keep walking for like another 5 minutes into this establishment. That walk made me realize why women don't feel safe around men. That's long story short, walking through a crowd of people that are dancing, and yet y'all see me, I'm tall, I'm big, I have a presence. I get it, my arm felt up, some guy tried pulling me in, my shoulders shrugged so hard when that happened. I was like, I don't know why he thought it was okay to just like try to pull me like that.
He thought you was with it, bro.
Bro, I was just passing by.
Fresh meat is crazy.
And like now I can feel everyone's eyes on me. Steve saw the guy try to pull me in. He starts laughing. Steve then also goes, John, it's okay. And I'm not mad at anything. I was just harassed. I was confused.
Now, how was Steve during all of this?
Like, he's getting laughing and holding closely to me now. Because he saw me get pulled and he held on to me and started walking faster with me.
Because with Steve, it's a different animal. I'm not even going to dive deeper into that. What I was just
going to say. Well, Steve also has a cauliflower ear. Right,
yeah.
And he made a joke about how that's like a natural defense system that people see that, and generally the average person will be like, "Oh, I should not fight this person," or like try to fuck with this person.
Every person knows that the last person you want to mess with is somebody with cauliflower.
Yeah. So I think that stopped people from touching him in general.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just like just in case this man is super self defensive.
I mean,
but me, my ears, just fine. Right. So people. Again, walking through this crowd of people, that one guy that pulled me, a bunch of guys caressing my arms, one guy touched my chest, and I was like, you didn't have to do that.
You know what's going to happen when you start going to the gym, my nigga.
All of this, this is a long walk to the bathroom. Jeez. Through a crowd of people dancing. And like, you know, whatever, have your fun. I get to the line, we get cat. Now it's a unisex bathroom, which is cool, right? It's one bathroom. And the guy who is in charge of the bathroom line, the security guy, is like, are you guys using stalls or urinals? I said a stall, thinking that's just going to be like another 2 minutes. Another 10 minutes go by, and I'm like, all right, I'll just take whatever.
Niggas are sucking dick in the stalls.
when I realized how much time had passed, and Steve had already used the bathroom and left and everything, because he just said, fuck it for the urinal. I was like, all right, bro, I'm going to just use urinal. Let me in. The security guard shrugged his shoulders at me and went, yeah, you should have said that originally. And I'm like, I didn't expect it to be this long. And then the urinal was also very gay.
Yeah.
How is the urinal gay? Wait a second. Yeah.
This is a part of it.
How is the urinal
gay? Yeah, I know how we talked about how urinals having dividers and things.
Oh, no.
There was no divider.
It's a glass divider.
And no, it was a little closet room with five urinals. And I can't use the word next to each other because that's an understatement. They are closer than what I am to you right now, Kenny.
Ew.
So when there's five dudes peeing, I'm the biggest one there. We are all practically shoulder to shoulder. Now, it gets a very thin urinal because it's not like outward and out. It's very thin to the wall.
Fucking piss splashing on niggas' legs and shit, bro.
To be fair, that was a design choice.
Yes, that was definitely
yes on purpose.
You know, like
that's why I called it a gay urinal.
In a conventional, what do you call it?
Bathroom.
Yeah, I don't know. How do you say a bathroom? The idea, well, at least some of the times, because we have talked before about how the bathroom setups in most places are terrible, but it's to not see meat.
Yeah.
You're at a gay venue. Yeah. You know what they...
Scouting, nigga. That's what the urinal is. Nigga's looking over.
Yeah, yeah. My head was straight up. And like, again, eyes are on me. I am a standout-ish person.
Alright. Don't tell me you a standoutish nigga in the bathroom. I need to know that about my friend, bro. I need to know that about you, Doug.
I take up space.
Yo, and bro, I don't need to know about this.
You're making me very uncomfortable.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean my piece. I meant me as a person.
I'm on the same couch as you, Doug. I'm about to move.
But that was funny in my head. I was like, wow, this is a really gay urinal. And that's why I was like really ready to talk about this. Because I was like, wow, this harkens back to when we did the urinal talk that one time. So that was a cool bathroom, though, after that moment. And then I thought, yeah, again, I can see why women don't feel safe around men. Because just be walling. Men just be walling.
I'm upset that you had to go through it in order to know.
Well, no, I always knew, but I didn't know like what it felt like on the inside. Mm-hmm. You know? Pause. Like, I didn't...
Yo, bro, this is... I didn't the episode know name is Pause, bro.
Like, I, again, like, I always knew, because it's obvious. Mm-hmm. The internet exists. People be walling on there. Right, and you see people say shit crazy, catcalling crazy in public all the time.
Yeah,
but like to be on the other end of the foot is a little different, you know.
Other end of the foot is also pause. Crazy, yeah. You got yo, bro.
This is crazy.
Just nuke the episode.
Bro, we went to another gay bar afterwards.
Oh my, that one was more.
There was a third. Yeah.
Oh my god.
There, Steve and I actually chilled for like a bit and talked to the bartender because now this bartender and it is the only bartender without a shirt on while the other bartenders are wearing clothes. So I, Steve and I
chose to talk to the shirtless nigga.
He's the one who gave us our drink.
Okay.
So genuinely we were like, we have a fair question. I hope it doesn't offend you in any way, shape or form, but did you choose to be shirtless or did like they tell you to be shirtless? Like what came first?
Shirtlessness is definitely encouraged.
When you said when you first uttered the words, did you choose? My brain works very fast.
Oh my god!
I thought you were gonna ask him if he chose to be gay.
I knew it. Oh
it was about his shirtlessness in question because you don't go to regular bars and bartenders, male or female, be shirtless.
Just looked at him. Be a man. No. Why is your shirt off?
No, it was a genuine question. Cause I'm like, this is now the third gay bar we go to. But you know, and shirtless bartenders is like a theme.
I don't want somebody shirtless over my drinks. But anything. Like, right. It doesn't have to be like.
It was hot as hell in there, too. Yeah. So,
bro, don't order, fucking drip your sweat.
I didn't order a fucking buttery nipple, nigga. I said Long Island. And pause for Long Island, too.
Oh, he was cool though. He literally pointed at them and goes, "No, they're just bitches. They don't want to take their shirts off."
Pose on Jack and Coke.
They're just bitches. It's crazy.
Yeah, he's like, "It's hot. I didn't feel like wearing a shirt." And then he said something crazy, right? Then he thought to take it a little step further and goes, "If it was really up to me, and if I could, because all they tell us is to cover our dicks and assholes, but
come on,
man. If I could, I'd just be naked."
Nobody asked you all that.
Family's here, man.
Yeah. And then Steve and I looked at each other, clanged our cups. Take a sip and go cheers. And then he goes, cheers, gentlemen. Have a good night. I got a tequila orange juice. Steve got a tequila pineapple.
That's where you guys messed up. This is why no men approach me. I order the manliest drinks when I go to these spots so they know I'm not fucking around. Hey, give me an old fashioned.
Coming from a man who despises old fashioned.
No, here's the crazy thing. No. I actually, so they showed me a drink menu.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this one right here sounds amazing.
Yeah.
I get it. It's in a fucking martini
glass. Oh, yeah, of course.
I'm like...
There's no way. Send this shit back, please. Thank you.
I'm like, all right, now, how do I look tough with a martini glass? So I'm like, I'm flexing a little bit.
It's fucking ridiculous, my nigga.
I'm fucking...
The male ego is so fragile. Yeah.
Bro, I was like, grabbing the martini glass from the top like this. I'm like, nah.
Yeah.
Because you know what? I don't want to be that guy either. Don't approach me. Because I'm not a part of the good time you're trying to have. Have a good time everywhere else. I'm just here because my friends are here. And, you know, approaching me, that, you know, I don't want to throw off what you got going on. Maybe you were in the zone, you were locked in, and now, you know.
That's how I feel in every situation. Don't approach me. Leave me alone. Everybody should leave me alone.
But I also accept anybody who approaches me.
And that's the problem.
That's your issue, bro. That's why these niggas are...
You don't go to three gay bars and accept everything that comes your way, bro. Because you know what?
Accepting everything that comes your way in a gay bar is crazy.
No sexual advances. It's just, yo, you want to speak to me? That's cool. We could talk. We'd be cool with each other. We could have fun around each other.
They're not trying to talk it out,
bro. Yeah, I noticed. I promise.
They're trying to talk you through it, you nasty bitch.
That's crazy. They're trying to talk you through it. You're a madman, Kenny.
Well?
You're a fucking madman.
It was interesting.
I'm not the one that said gay bars, bro.
Yeah, no.
Kenny, you ever been to Harlem Hookah?
Harlem Hookah on 130. It's on like 120-something, right? It's on Lenox.
Yeah.
I've walked past it mad times, but the fact that it's called Harlem Hookah has made me not want to go in it.
That's fair.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm a... You know, hopefully, you know, she doesn't listen. But if she does, you know, our first our first night out is documented.
Okay.
So I go with, and I'm not even gonna go into detail for the full night because that's OD. But I just want to bring up this little funny part.
Mm-hmm.
Out for the first time, you know, getting to know each other.
Yeah.
And instead of menus, they give you iPads.
Oh.
But a lot of these iPads are kind of broken.
Of course.
And worn out, pause. The one they gave me didn't work, so we're just on one iPad fucking scrolling.
Very intimate.
Like
yeah.
Yeah, so I'm talking to our server, and she's like, I like, you know, ring off the order. Like, hey, we want this hookah, we want these drinks, and an order of fries.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, can you just point it out on the menu for me? Because it's my first day here, and they got me working all night by myself. And it's a pretty packed, it's a Friday night
fucking
packed to the gills. Bro, we ordered, like, our hookah didn't get to the table until, like, maybe, like, 20, 30 minutes passed. Then the fries came, and we still didn't get our drinks. So I called the server over. I'm like, hey, you know, we got everything else, but we didn't get our drinks. And, like, you know, we can't eat french fries.
Yeah.
And fucking,
yeah.
You know, we were thirsty as fuck. Bro, the server goes, you know what? Fuck this job.
What?
She was like, you guys seem really cool and cute. I'm gonna make sure y'all get y'all drinks, but after that, just know I'm leaving. And
what?
She quit on the spot at Harlem Hookah. And and the hookah, not great. I had to like do some things to make it smokable, right. But not great. Hookah.
See, that's another thing, bro. I'm just not going to a hookah spot ran by niggas, bro. I'm sorry. I've had to set up enough hookahs myself to know that hookah's just not our thing, bro. It's not for us.
I'm sitting there, and because like it's like the first date,
mm-hmm.
I didn't want to seem like a bitch, so I'm just—I was in so much pain the entire time.
Oh, man.
So I'm fucking—I'm like trying to unscrew things. I'm like, and I finally figured it out to make it smokable. But it was really bad.
It was rough.
Really rough. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was really rough. The girl quit. Then, like, when I tried to get the check, it was so much. Everybody was all over the place because they didn't know what to do. And I'm just there. And I'm like, and then they were like, what did you order? And I'm sitting there. I'm like, yo, I should just tell you I was with somebody else and I didn't even order nothing. I was so tight because of, like, the fucking runaround.
I definitely would have been like, I just had, like, a water and some fries.
Yeah. But, so that was...
But your breath smelled like blue mist. I had a water and some fries.
While I'm smoking, this isn't even mine. This was...
I took this.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I really think it's hilarious to go to a hookah spot and then set up your own hookah.
Basically,
that's comedy.
And then they asked me for a refill. I was like, yo, even if, like, this... Like, even if the server didn't quit,
mm-hmm.
the hookah was just so rough. There was no way I was doing a refill.
Yeah,
but, it was crazy, like, that. Like, I guess there's something about me in first dates where, like, the most random shit happens. Like a server quitting in the middle of her fucking shift.
I would have high-fived there. I would have been like, you go, girl.
But she was, like, she wasn't born here. I don't know where she was from. She could have been, like, Haitian or born in an African country or something like that. Like, she was like, yeah, this is my first day. I don't know what's going on. It was so awkward.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was, you know, another one in the books of very awkward Manny dates.
I live vicariously through your terrible dates. Because most dates I've been on, it's going to sound like I'm, like, bragging. They've gone fine. Like, most of the shits that I've, like, before I got with my girl, they went fine. So I never really had, like, a wacky first date still, except for, like, one time where me and Edwin went on a double date, and it was the worst shit in my life.
Yes, I remember.
But that's still, like, better than a lot of shit that some people be telling me.
You know what? I think we should go into that Edwin double date story, but before you do,
mm-hmm.
I just want to... I don't think that I make these dates awkward or bad. Shit just be happening.
Yeah, bro. Like, I'm not saying it's you. I'm just saying, like, shit just happens to niggas.
Yeah.
That in these settings, I've personally never had to deal with. To a point where I'm like, there's points in my life where I was like, I want to have, like, a bad date experience so I can have a story, nigga. Like,
and that's the thing. I only have just weird, curvy enthusiasm, Larry David first dates every time. where just the most random shit is happening. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, to no fault of my own, but I just gotta sit there and just fucking roll with the punches and be like, you know, what are we gonna do?
It is what it is.
So, yeah, I'm on an absolute tear. So, you know, hopefully this one works out, and that was the last weird first date experience. And I can eventually tell the full story of how even more awkward it got. Oh, and then if it doesn't work out, I'll go ahead and tell. It's going to be told either way.
Yeah, okay.
Just not right now.
I wish, man, not sabotaging you actually made some of those stories awkward. Yeah, you know, like Bobby from the, I forgot the name of her podcast.
Yeah,
the really good podcast or whatever.
Okay. Bobby something.
The white yeah, her. Because you know how she does that persona that's very awkward on the podcast,
and she does it on purpose.
I know. I think that's funny.
It's a forced awkwardness. My life is real life.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you should do the forced awkwardness on your next first date,
bro.
Because so many random shit happens on your first dates.
But then you can't watch that be the one date where
that nothing happens.
Yeah, everything goes perfectly, and I fucked it up.
I really want you to be the one to make it awkward on purpose. Bro. Think about the laugh you're going to have after.
No. I don't want you because it's
he has
be
a different mission than you, John. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm trying to settle down. I'm tired of being in for the streets. It's not fun.
Listen, bro, it's not. It is not at all.
But like that's the thing where it's like, bro, dating is so it's so weird. It's so weird because you gotta have the right social media persona. You gotta have the right, like, and the thing is, like, I feel like I'm good enough at holding conversations where I can tell, like, bro, if it ever becomes like an awkward, like, low in conversation, I'll just bring up a random funny story because I have a million of them. Yeah. So I'll just go. Okay. I'll go to the classics. So yeah, it's very weird, and you know, I don't know what or who I'm looking for, but you know, just rolling with the punches of awkwardness.
I like to think that you'll
know when you find
you'll
it.
Meet a person by chance and yeah. Like well in person.
Yeah,
I think I'm maybe trying too hard. I feel like maybe I'm trying to find something
and you're not letting it come naturally.
Yeah, I'm like, and then I'll just like back off anyway. So
yeah,
you know,
I think you should aim to have fun and then hope that the natural event of you having fun leads to that person.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna start doing random shit now. Like I'm gonna just start doing.
I'm telling you, be awkward on purpose.
I seen a tattoo class, like it's like a sipping tattoo.
That sounds terrible.
That's
no, but, no.
You
no,
don't tattoo bodies. You tattoo like fake skin.
Oh,
kind of want to do that.
Okay.
So I'm gonna just be like, if this date tomorrow works out, I'm gonna be like, yo, next week.
Tattoo class. You get a tattoo.
Sipping tat. No, nigga, that's the opposite of what I thought. I thought niggas was gonna be getting drunk and then tattooing people.
On the third date, we tattoo each other's initials. Like, all right, we're locked in.
You accidentally write the name of the drink you got.
Long Island. Yo, sip and tat. So yeah, that's like I'm gonna just start doing activities. I'm tired of going to dinners.
Yeah, I'm surprised that you. Yeah, I've been tired of going to dinners for a while.
Well, like restaurants, they're trying too hard. There's this one spot outside of the venue where I went to the Action Bronson concert with Chris and Levante. The best chicken tacos.
I didn't
tacos.
Know that this happened.
Huh?
I didn't know that this happened.
This happened like 3 months ago or 2 months ago. This was a while ago.
I didn't know that this happened.
It was in the chat. The invite was in the chat, and then that's how it happened that we were going.
Okay.
This happened. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Never mind. I remember seeing the video. All right.
Yeah.
Mind.
So before there, I got there earlier than everybody else. So I went to the spot to get some margaritas and tacos. Best chicken tacos I've had from like a bunch of spots. Like, it's up there. And then their margaritas are fresh. They're not using that syrup bullshit of like pre-made mix.
Yeah.
Go there on Friday. I look at the menu. Mexican style hamburger on the menu. Breakfast, all day breakfast burrito on the menu. No Mexican food is on the menu anymore. They changed their menu. I'm sitting there. I'm like, how the fuck are you a Mexican spot? Y'all don't got tacos. No burritos.
What the fuck do
you mean? The only burrito is a breakfast burrito.
What the fuck is a Mexican style hamburger? What is that?
There was like guac on there.
Man, if you'll get this bullshit out of my face.
Probably.
Yeah, I see what they're doing.
I'm sitting there. I'm like, yo, y'all food was perfect. Yo, I went there with Tiara, Meg, a couple months ago, or maybe like a month ago.
By the way, those were not two different people he just said.
Yeah, one person. Yeah. We go there. We eat, and then, like, we eat the... We're drinking the drinks. We're, like, fire. Mm-hmm. We're eating the tacos. Fire. Then we ordered some... they had, like, homemade churros.
Oh.
Fire.
We made sounds when we were eating the fucking churros. After I was done, after the plate was done, and they had, like, some dipping sauce. Amazing. I was like, yo, I need a fucking cigarette after this. Yo. And then, like, she was like, oh, we got to go back again. Full fucking menu change. I'm like, this is madness.
That makes me... I would be upset.
Bro, the server was like, yeah, a bunch of people been telling us we got to go back. I'm like, yo, y'all a Mexican spot. How y'all don't have tacos?
I would
definitely... How your only burrito's a breakfast burrito?
Yeah, no.
I don't want to eat no fucking scrambled eggs in a burrito at 9 p.m.
I'm not going to lie. I don't want to have... fucking a breakfast burrito, period.
That too, because I feel fat as fuck when I eat one, but
because of the egg.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just too much.
It's a terrible...
Because then they put potatoes in there too.
Yeah.
It's just too much.
No.
But yeah, that made me sad. This spot is called Bosco's, if anybody's interested in... They can go there. It's on fucking wherever the fuck.
It's on fucking Bosco's.
Good
look
luck,
it up, nigga.
EO,
look it up, nigga.
The drinks still amazing, I presume, unless they just went... We don't have margaritas either. We're just a Mexican themed restaurant with fucking
burgers,
vodka seltzers and Mexican style burgers. But that blew my... That fucking ruined my day.
Yeah. Why don't you start going on dates that involve more physical action?
I feel like the first couple dates shouldn't have random activities.
It's supposed to be calm, bro. If you're taking a girl to like fucking rock climbing on like the second or third date,
yeah,
it implies a lot more heaviness.
You can use the activity for like an awkwardness breaker, like you know, like if somebody isn't a great talker, then I would suggest maybe do more activities than going to a dinner.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. I feel like we can save the activity. Like bowling, I guess, would be a cool first date.
Bowling would be...
I don't know about bowling as a first date. I don't like bowling as a first date.
You don't like bowling?
Why? No, I like bowling.
No,
I don't
mean like as a first date.
Yeah, it's because fucking... It's just... I don't know.
I like seeing the competitiveness.
Yeah, I was just about to get to
that.
Of a girl.
I was just about to say that I feel like bowling is a good... arcade places, bowling, any like a game activity type of thing, it forces competitiveness to come out of one of you.
Yeah.
Or either you show how playful of a person they are.
But right? I also played down to the competition.
You better than
think
me.
Think about it. I worked at a bowling alley for 4 years. If I wanted to bust some ass, I could bust some ass.
Yeah. But that's what I said in general, all places.
Yeah, I like never win 2 games in a row. I take a game off in the middle, and then at the end, 300 bowling.
I warmed up. I don't know. What can I say?
Like, oh shit, it's just falling for me today. I don't know.
I never let a girl win a damn thing in my entire life.
Yo,
nigga.
There should be a fucking paint and shoot. And not guns, but basketball courts.
I thought you meant guns,
like,
too.
Like, small, like, where it could be, like, one-on-one or 2v2 courts. So that would be fire.
You mean, like, a sip-and-shoot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said paint-and-shoot.
Oh.
That's why I was confused.
Paint-and-shoot would be cool, too. Like, you have, like, balloons filled with paint, and then you got to shoot it with BB guns. That'd be pretty cool.
Or darts. Not darts. Darts are dangerous. Never mind.
I mean... That works.
BBs are fucking dangerous too.
Yeah,
but they're less
just as dangerous as darts.
Drunk Bob is less likely to accidentally like
shoot
stab
someone.
You.
Dick Cheney shot someone in the face.
Sober.
Yeah. So yeah, you play a girl one on one, and then you're hitting it with fucking move. Boop boop.
Just fucking take her fucking ankles the way Iman did to Tiana that one time.
Exactly.
That's
you
terrible.
Know what? I oh man, we need funders. We need some funders. A paint and shoot in the city. I mean, sip and shoot. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Oh my god. And then like so a group of guys bring their friends and then now they're too drunk and too into the game and now they're fighting. Oh, I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
But I think those kind of like
second
first
great
dates,
idea of this. Sorry, second great idea of this pod. The first one being the cups with the lids, and then now the sip and shoot. I'm here.
I feel like those kinds of dates, they eliminate the aspect of keeping people on their phones. Because now a person has to go out their way to want to be on their phone.
Yeah.
Because they're forced to interact physically, right? So they can't really be on their phones because they have to do whatever they have to do. But bowling, you need your hands.
What do you guys do on your... Do you guys make conscious efforts of not being on your phone during dates?
On a first date?
Yes. And then dates in general.
Or like, yeah, dates in general.
On a, dates in general, my phone will be probably on the table face down. So that you can see, like, they can see that I'm looking them in the eye.
Yeah.
But also, my nigga, if my phone vibrates, I'm going to check it, turn it back over, and continue the conversation. I feel like that's a good way to, like, it's a good way to, like, fake involve, like, engagement, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if my shit, like, vibrates and it's, like, the group chat, I flip it back over, she's going to take that as, oh, whatever's on his phone ain't as important as this date to him right now.
I take it a step further. Okay. Alright, so I start off phone in the pocket the mm-hmm. entire time. I'm never checking the phone for anything.
Okay.
But then if she brings the phone out and then checks it like two times, then that's when Manny Dizla's, now it's on the table.
Okay.
Then turn on the chat notifications and I'm like, I can play this game too.
Oh,
I got the notifications just like you.
That is some sick shit.
But then, am I manipulative?
That was manipulation.
No. But then,
we both just shared manipulation tactics a little bit.
Well,
but
you know what? Shouldn't have been on your damn phone. No, but then I'll take the phone and then just put it back in my phone. I'm not a big phone guy on dates because I'm like, we're on the phone too much anyway. Let's. You know, take these 2-3 hours. Let's lock in. You know, figure things out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Yeah, I'll try not to be on, like, actively on my shit. But if I'll look.
I'll give a couple peeks.
Yeah.
Like, but then, like, I'm like, I don't even want to, like, who am I going to be talking to, like, another girl while I'm on this date? No, yes. I'm going to just check my FanDuel real quick.
Yes.
Make sure my shit's is busting. But,
nah, the most of
that night, they were not busting.
The most I'll do is accept the phone call. If they go to the bathroom, then I'll, like, actually check my phone.
Yeah.
Right? Or sometimes I would sit there and not check my phone because in my head, I'm like, I just have to drill it into my head not to look at my phone for the rest of this time.
Yeah.
So that I can be, like, a person.
If we had stalkers, they could win us over by just listening to this pod.
Yeah.
They could just tune in and be like, oh, wow, this is how we get these guys?
Not me.
Not you, obviously. Me and John.
I'm very positive that there's a stalker out there somewhere plotting.
I hope not.
I hope so. Give us another episode to talk about.
You know, since we're here, I don't think I talked about this on the last one. On Hinge, I was talking to this girl,
mm-hmm.
and she was like, oh, what do you do? So, you know, I give her the face value of what I do, where I'm like, oh, you know, I'm a creator. I also, I'm trying to get into marketing, blah, blah, blah. And I also, you know, run a couple different podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
So she was like, oh, I want to listen.
Oh.
And I tell her, this was after the last episode came out.
Okay.
So I tell her, I'm like, listen, it's kind of a comedy podcast, but it's not really. It's just a couple guys telling stories, you know, living life.
Yeah.
You either get it or you don't.
You said this to her?
I told her. I was like, you're either going to get it or you're not.
And it's funny enough, he said that in the last part too, but not about to someone. You just said, you either get it or you don't, okay?
Yeah. Because I'm like, I'm telling you, like, there's been plenty of girls that have tuned in, and then they were like, so, like, what, you guys just like, and I'm like, yeah. Yeah.
Just shooting the shit on mic?
Oh, yes. No, this wasn't even the last episode. It was the last one where we read a script.
Ah.
So, she was like, yeah, I don't get it. I was like, I'm so glad you don't. Because if she would, she said she stopped listening like 15 minutes in. Okay. I was like, had you continued that episode?
It just falls off the rails. We started off the rails already.
Yeah.
It just gets more and more off
the rails. And I sat there, I'm like, thank you. Because I didn't want to have to explain anything else after that.
Yes, exactly.
We were just reading the script as jokes. And, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is, it's something. Explaining to girls
that you have a podcast or you are on a podcast, it's 1,000% the worst thing that you could do now as a dude.
Well, because that's why I lead them off with the, I have a pod, and then like as a joke, right after I'll be like, but not in a what's that shit called?
Misogynistic.
Yeah, not in a misogynistic red pill type of way. Mm-hmm. More in a silly goose type of way.
Okay, so you say silly goose.
Yeah.
Okay.
I 100% say silly goose all the time, because
I didn't know you. This is your game to the bitches too, bro. I'm sorry. I mean, women.
Listen. On the last description, I almost used Mad Silly Goose a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, you know what? ChatGPT, figure out the description for this episode. Okay. And it did. Because, yeah, no. I'm not, you know. Yeah. But we are silly geese, though.
A bunch of silly geese.
Geese being silly. Like, you know, John going to 3 gay clubs in one night.
Bro, get that. The hat trick, bro.
Being shocked at the amount of times he got hit on.
Like, why is everybody hitting on me? Right? I don't know, nigga. Why are you getting wet in the rain, nigga? I don't know. You tell me.
That also happened last night. That was the gay guy with the fishnets asking the same question.
Oh, funny enough, God. We did separate from Sharona and that cousin.
I was on a
tour. I was getting a text. But we separated from them, and we ended up trying to go to Mean Fillers, but they had a private event, and they didn't let us in.
Fuck, I hate Mean
Fillers. I know, I didn't want to go there either, but
Steve loves Mean Fillers, and I'm like...
And Steve also wanted to separate from the the consistency of gay clubs.
I 100% understand that, but it's like, yo, Steve's nights out always consist of Turtle Bay vibes of going out, and I'm like... I left that part of my life behind me.
Forcibly.
Alright? I can't drink 7 tequila pineapples in 1 hour, bro.
It's crazy because I feel like if we didn't have to stop going to Turtle Bay, we would have continued on that road and we would have been so fucked up now.
I'd be Manny Zell. I'd be fucked up from all... We would be... potting about our crazy night last night at Turtle Bay.
Yeah, actually.
Right now. Like...
Our whole trajectory of life, like, as a group, changed when that nigga stabbed that nigga, bro.
Like, he thinks his life changed not as much as ours.
Like, yeah, you're...
You just got stabbed. You got a shit in a pouch.
You'll be all right. You're fine, bro.
You're tough, right?
Nothing happened to that nigga, bro.
Bro, you know how pussy you gotta be to get stabbed and shut a spot down?
See, first of all, yo, bro, the fucking story that they told about the incident was fucking ridiculous.
He got unjustly stabbed.
Yeah.
I was also on my way to Turtle Bay that night.
When the nigga...
Yeah, my coworkers were next to when this all happened.
Oh, my God.
And my coworkers at the time. Yeah. And I was on my way because we were like, bro, my fucking job, that was when I was selling... fucking Verizon business to business. Fuck that shit. Mm-hmm. Fuck that job and all those people mostly. Now, there's a couple cool people there. Shout out Dwayne. That's my guy.
Okay.
Don't have any contact with him ever since I quit. And it was a... When I quit that job, that's when we went to Mexico. And it was like me, Chris, Steve, John.
Oh, okay.
Like, I literally just didn't come in.
I remember that. They said, yo, are you coming in? And you were like, I'm in Mexico or some shit like that.
Yeah. And that was because I needed like $500 or $600. Mm-hmm. It was an exact number too. It was like, I needed $625 to go on this trip.
Yeah.
I was going business to business, working my ass off, because if you don't sell Verizon to a business, you don't get paid. Mm. Bro, I went into this hardware store. I'll never forget this shit. Went into this hardware store, offered them Verizon. They were like, nah, turn me away. Walk out at the front fucking door, $625 exactly on the floor.
Wow.
Picked that shit. I dropped my folder on the floor. On top of the money.
Picked it up with the folder. Yeah.
And from that moment, I knew I wasn't working at that job no longer.
Like, fuck that place.
I was like, I'll figure this shit out.
Yeah.
And, that's how I ended up getting the money for that trip.
It's beautiful.
Fucking. But, so when Turtle Bay closed, I was on my way. Literally driving by Bruckner. 15 minutes away. They were like, yo, man, you just turn around. somebody got stabbed. They closing they closing for the night. It's like, well, yo, what happened? They were like, this dude was with his girl. They were dancing, and a guy approached them and tried dancing with the girl. The guy told him that that's his girl. And the girl was like, I don't want to dance with you. I'm with my boyfriend. And the dude with the knife went, oh, bet. And caught him with that shit.
Yo, bro.
And you know what?
Turtle Bay is crazy because every time I've went in that place, I got patted down.
Yeah, these pat downs don't mean shit.
Yeah, this nigga got through with the knife.
Kenny, think about when we worked security for those couple weeks.
Think
about how many people were singing along to the new song that came out that summer. Bitch, I got my own fire.
Yeah.
With the security in the club.
Yeah.
And it made me wonder a couple times when they were singing it. I'm like, yo, y'all singing it like you mean it. And I checked y'all.
Bro, yo, my nigga, I was in the back by the speaker. Nigga, by the speaker and the food.
Wearing security shirts.
Where this nigga is like, yo, this nigga and his whole group, it's like 20 of them. And they, on the fucking song, they say something about, they yell out the fucking ape call. And 30 niggas in different pockets all yelled this shit. And I'm like, yo, bro.
Yo.
How am I security for this?
Yo, listen.
What am I going to secure here?
I realized I was a terrible security guard when these two girls were about to fight and I was just watching them. That's pretty funny. I was just watching. I'm like, oh, this shit crazy. And then this girl's like, oh, aren't you supposed to be doing something? I'm like, you're right.
Oh, yeah, that's my job. Oh, shit. Nah, nigga. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Remember we were working with the biggest blood of all time?
Oh, yeah.
That big brolic dude.
Yeah.
He was not fucking around. He was a security. He was like, yo, y'all just chill. I'm handle this shit.
That nigga.
Literally picked up the girl and brought her up a whole flight of stairs. I was like, Jesus. I'm like, yo, thank God you're here. This shit was mad unsafe.
Nigga, yo. I remember I was telling somebody, yeah, I just got done working security. Because it was like, what, 4 in the morning? I don't know why the fuck they were up at the time. I know why I was up, nigga, because I was niggas was working.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, just got done. Just got paid a little nice little piece of money for this. It was like, all right. I'm glad you got it out of there safe. I'm like, well, what did you know about this event that I didn't? Because I felt like I was fine there. But and I thought about it. And I was like,
there
was a couple of times where it was a little close there.
We were like 3rd Ave.
Yeah.
Like we were in. But, and I worked at security a bunch of times that summer for whatever. And this is the summer I was doing keto and all that shit.
Yeah.
I'm mad frail. Like, I'm mad skinny.
Low energy.
But, yo. Like, people, you know, I remember the first time I worked security with that dude. I'm at the door. And then this girl goes, yo, you too cute to be security. That's how I know you're not really a security guard. And I'm like, nah, I'm security. I fucking put my arms up. I'm like, yo. She was like, nah, you a piece of me. I'm like, oh. Bro, yo, at the end of that night, everybody was like so drunk, bro. I was being felt up by a bunch of women. I'm like, yo, is somebody going to do something about this?
Nigga, you're security. Do something about this.
I'm like, yo, why y'all touching me like this? I'm like, yo, they were grabbing my face. They were like, yo, you so cute. They were like, oh, you a little light skin. I'm like, yo, please.
Nigga got bashful.
Yeah, I'm like, like, ladies, please.
You did not secure anything, but not they secured
at all.
You.
Not at all, bro. There was like that party was great. There was like strippers there, and then I ended up being cool with the strippers. And we were like talking, like have you know normal conversation. Mm-hmm. You know they're regular people just like us,
of course.
I ended up talking to like a bunch of people, just having like conversations with people. They were like, "Oh, so how'd you get into security?" I was like, "You know, I killed a couple people, and now I'm out." So, yeah, no, security was a very random part of my life.
It's nothing like being security at an event and somebody saying, y'all security?
Oh, yeah.
In the most condescending way. Yeah. I'm like, all right, bro. I mean, I know niggas was skinny at the time. I still would have tried to suplex a nigga if he got out of line.
Yeah,
I don't know if I would have been successful.
My trick to look bigger, I would always wear a hoodie under my security shirt. Just to add a couple lbs, cause your boy was walking around 180, 185.
Yo, bro, the funniest.
I ain't stopping nobody.
The funniest shit in the world was, the nigga that ran the events was like, nah, bro, I really fuck with y'all. Y'all held it down. Y'all did the job. Y'all really made sure. The niggas was... I was like, word? You really... you think so? Enough to call us back, bro? Are you serious?
He kept calling. Bro, I did security like 8 times. And I was getting paid very well.
That nigga was definitely generous with the pay.
Yep.
Definitely generous with the pay. Shout out to you.
He uplifted us as we were doing it, too. I was like, oh, wow.
He made y'all feel secure about securing everybody else.
Exactly.
He was very... very motivational when it came to because the last shit that we did, it was somewhat of a disappointment for him. He was like, you know, I ain't get enough people to come out, but you know what? It's cool. I'm gonna take this L, go home, smoke some weed, fuck my bitch, and count some money. I was like, damn, nigga. All right, that's what it's about. That's what life is all about, bro.
The man said he's gonna uplift himself once he gets home at the L.
What? Same. The fuck? Bro, if I do a thing and it came out terrible, me personally, especially at that time, my whole demeanor would have been fucked up for like a month, nigga. Like, niggas would have never... I would have just been frowned up, scrunched up face.
He threw another party the very next week. Mm-hmm. He was right back at it. Yo, he was like, one of these shits is gonna pop.
This nigga said, yo, I'm gonna let y'all know if I need y'all again, bro. Don't worry. I'm gonna hit y'all. Never heard from this nigga again. Yeah. But... you know,
I also didn't want to do that shit anymore because it was like, it was after work, you know, like a Friday or some shit like that, or on a Saturday too, and
for
I'm
like 6 fucking hours,
standing, just on my feet,
standing, nigga, nah,
walking around the spot, looking, trying to look menacing,
looking people in the face, bro.
So
y'all smoking over here? You niggas smoking?
Hey, yo, my man, no hats.
Yo, bro, no. No smoking, bro. Being on telling niggas to stop smoking patrol because the owner of the building was like, no smoking inside.
Yeah, only hookah.
That shit was annoying as fuck. Because I would walk up to niggas and be like, yo, bro, I know niggas is having a good time. Just smoke outside. Smoke your weed outside, bro. And at one point, I said, and you know how people would be like, oh, you're not saying it to them?
Yeah.
I just came from over there, bro. What are you talking about? You could go over there yourself and ask them if I told them to stop smoking. They just started again, bro. Yeah. I don't know what you want me to do.
Exactly.
I'm going to have to go back over there and talk to them niggas again now. But, man, thanks for pointing it out. You a snitch now.
Yeah. that's when I would send in the blood. I'd be like, yo, they smoking in there.
Nah.
Yo, they were fucking...
You were thought that I was the head of security at the back of that fucking party. The way them niggas was like... coming to me like, yeah, tell them to stop smoking. Yeah, go over there, tell them to smoke. I'm like, nigga, this is not it don't say head of security, security leader. I don't got a jacket, no whistle, nothing, nigga. I got t-shirt and these J's. Yeah. Nigga, what do you want me to do?
Well, they were giving me drinks too. Like, these girls would come outside, hand me some drinks. They were like,
that's nice.
They were like, we wish you were inside instead of, you know, I'm like,
what am I security? Come on. Stop it.
Come on.
Stop it. No. Oh,
only thing
shucks.
I'm secure is myself.
Nah. You fucking doofus.
Yeah, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
That was a good summer.
It was it was pretty decent summer. That was like towards the end of all the COVID shit, I think.
Yeah, what, 2021? 2021,
20, yeah, it was like summer 2021.
Yeah.
It was a lot of random stuff happening, but I feel like that's a common theme. There's a bunch of random shit happening.
Well, especially like people that know me, like imagining me working security, fucking gold. Hilarious, because I'm not doing shit.
Bro.
I'm the most passive person around.
Like, damn word? That's, y'all just going... walk down there, guys.
Exactly.
Come on,
yo, we really doing this? You hit like, one of those?
You for real? And that's it.
Exactly. Like the Montgomery, Alabama thing.
Mm-hmm.
If I was that security guard, I would have just looked at the white people and went, "Yo, y'all got to move." And if they would have did all that shit, I'd been like, "All right, fuck y'all," and just left. I'm not squaring up with nobody. Yo,
bro, they squared up with him. Nigga, he ain't squared up with them. They
no,
ran
no,
down
saying,
on him.
I'm saying like I would have never let it get. Yo, y'all for real? Y'all trying to square with me? I don't even give a fuck. All right, y'all parked there? Whatever.
Like, yo, I can't like, do nothing? I
that's
can't
what
get
I'm saying. Like, I'm not letting it get to the point where, like, now we all about to fight. Because I'm like, yo, I don't give a fuck. Y'all figure it out then.
I don't care about this job this much.
Exactly. Yo, I'm not getting jumped.
I'm not getting paid enough to get jumped.
I'm not getting jumped by nobody in any job. Unless I get that job tomorrow that I'm interviewing for, I'm not getting jumped by nobody. Fuck that. Because you know he ain't making getting jumped amount of money.
Oh, yeah, no, not at all.
He making fucking whatever he's making. But, yo, shout out to that one dude who swam. He jumped in the water from the boat and swam across the fucking thing at least like 50 yards.
They called that nigga Lutefish, bro.
Yo, when I seen them call him Michael B. Phelps.
Yo. Bro, they had all types of names for this nigga, bro. Yo, it was Aquaman. Amazing. That was definitely the best one. That was definitely the best one.
Bro, hold on. I gotta find these fucking nicknames for this dude who jumped in the fucking water.
It's not enough that he jumped in the water to swim across to help that man.
He jumped across
and washed niggas,
no,
bro.
But before that, swam that far.
Mm-hmm.
Then pulled his body up. He didn't use any stairs or nothing.
Pulled his body up onto the dock.
Gathered himself for a couple seconds. And then began to fucking hook off and just absolutely... Bro, he landed hits.
You ever seen a fucking... Like a Street Fighter 20 hit combo? That's what that nigga did to that nigga. Bro,
but you know, there's always one person that gotta take it too far. And it was the dude with the chair.
The nigga with the chair swinging like he was prime Mick Foley. Nigga.
Yo, I knew that he was going to get arrested when, number one, he was swinging on people with the chair around in front of the cops.
Yeah.
And then when that lady who was on the ground, not doing nothing to nobody because she already got her ass whooped, when he fucking let her have it.
Nigga. Yo. Bro. The velocity in which he swung downward on her head, followed by her crunching up while already on the floor, I was like, yeah, nah, that bitch definitely like...
He took it too far. He did not read. He did not read the room, and he fucking smoked her with that
He
chair.
Might not be able to fight for real, bro. He grabbed the weapon.
Bro,
where did that chair even come from? They were on a dock. Was it on a boat? did he take the chair off the boat to hit niggas with? Because that's crazy.
But I don't know.
And why does a boat have white chairs like that? Just looks on the boat.
I think the chairs were just like things where people were sitting. Like it wasn't like no fucking. But man, oh man, when he fucking let her have it. He swung harder than The Rock swung on Mick Foley when he was handcuffed.
Yeah. Well, actually,
when it got nicknamed Fade in the Water,
nah,
classic,
yo,
Aquaman, Shaquille O'Gills, Michael B. Phelps.
They said that shit was the Montgomery Sweet Tea Party.
Yeah, they called him JJ Fish.
Oh my fucking god,
Captain Hook.
That's a good one.
Catfish Cuz, Tyrone. Oh,
can you not
instead of Ryan? No, instead of Ryan Lochte,
it's Tyrone Lochte. Yeah,
21 Tilapia.
Wow.
Little Namor.
That's good. Little Namor is good.
Oh, the greatest one, the one that truly made me laugh for at least 3 minutes. C-Murder.
Yeah, okay, that's what I want. C as in C.
S-E-A.
Yeah. Oh my fucking god. Yeah. Yeah, no.
I seen C-Murder, I laughed so hard.
That was a great day for the internet.
It was. And then it instantly got corny because
a nigga started doing a lot more.
Fucking, what's the dude that was famous on TikTok? I mean, Vine, the black dude.
No, that's not specific.
You just said mad niggas.
Yeah. Oh, King Bach?
King Bach.
It was
King Bach. He did a skit where he was like, when black people need help, they just got to throw their hat in the air. And then it was just like he would get into a skirmish, throw his hat in the air, and like four black people pop up.
Nigga, I saw somebody make an edit where they put the fucking portals from Endgame.
Bro, when they were walking down the fucking thing.
That shit was, yo, bro, because I know that skip. I know niggas pulling out their pants walking towards you means nothing but trouble. Yeah. Now, as niggas know that, but as white people, they just think, these dudes are approaching us. They don't know that these dudes in the front are definitely about to hook off on you.
Yeah.
When they're walking towards you,
skipping
towards you, pulling their pants up. That means I'm preparing for battle, yeah. Nigga.
Here's the other thing. They were skipping at them like they knew the guy.
Yeah.
They were helping a person that they did not know.
Bro, that's the type of fucking...
But they pulled up with the energy of, you just fucked up my uncle.
This is the fucking sense of community that black people have been missing for years.
Exactly. We don't need Harlem Hookah. We need Harlem Hook Hooks. All.
We need Harlem Hooks, nigga.
We need Harlem Hook All.
It's funny I mentioned that because I saw a comedian on TikTok talk about how... It was a white guy saying this, by the way. He's like, I'm white. I'm not loyal. Right? But black people, they're loyal to each other. Right, yeah. And then he said, and that applies to most cultures except for the whites. And he talked about how if a black dude gets in a fight with a bunch of other people, a random black dude is just gonna jump in and help. No questions asked, no communication.
Y'all figure out what happened afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if a white person gets into a fight,
he literally said, "I'm walking away. I don't know you."
He might be on his own. That nigga might deserve what's coming to him.
I don't think a single white person has gotten into a fight and other white people go to help that white person.
Especially in a fight with multiple other people.
Yeah.
I've never seen a white person get ran down on by like niggas.
No, the only help that they will get is like the random white person walking by going, is nobody going to stop this?
The white girl saying, stop that. Stop hitting him.
Meanwhile, the person 100% deserved it and probably started it.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
From my last job, I have two stories that literally show both of those examples.
Oh my God.
So the first story, it's going to be like, as my old AGM. This guy came in here to the store with a white guy. He started bugging. I'm gonna call that white guy a crackhead, cause I can't. Like, maybe he wasn't a crackhead, but he was wilding like he was one. Like, he opened up all the salt shakers and just threw them all over the place, all over the tables.
Definitely a crackhead.
Yeah. I have to call him that. And my AGM tried being nice until he saw all the salt flying everywhere. Now our friend Ruben was watching this live, so just know Ruben got a great kick out of this.
Yeah.
But Ruben went to the bathroom thinking it's whatever. They're gonna come and leave and nothing's gonna happen.
Yeah.
My AGM grabs this man out the booth by his collar, drags him on the floor. They start fighting. They're fighting now in this small restaurant.
I'm suing the fuck out of this, like, where you used to work, just so you know. I would sue the absolute. I'm not letting an employee grab me by my collar and drag me out the restaurant. Yeah. Even if I deserved it. I didn't deserve
that. And you're on the older side. This is the older man.
Yeah.
So now there's another random black dude just eating by himself in the restaurant. He gets up and goes, yo, bro, you need help? And then both of them are escorting this man while he was just resting. They are now escorting this man out of the restaurant via dragging him across the floor.
Here's why. It's because white people, if they're eating food, they are perfectly fine with a disturbance in while they're eating food.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be like, someone needs to take care of this.
Yeah.
But, you know, if the black dude's sitting there, he's like, yo, I haven't even had a chance to sit down and enjoy my day. I just want to eat this shit. And here comes this fucking guy.
Here this nigga go.
So you know what? Let me show him that he can't be doing this to people.
Yeah.
And that's the main cult, like, raising of white people versus black people and Hispanic people. Hispanic and black people, they're not letting their kids do some fuck shit like that.
Yeah.
A white person is going to try to, hey.
Stop it.
Come on.
Settle down.
Who's going to clean this up? And then they'll point at you and be like, can you clean this up?
I'm so sorry. You know,
kids. Yeah. A Hispanic or a black person is slapping the fire out
and
of
then
in the restaurant.
Yeah, and then now they're cleaning it up.
Sit your stupid ass down.
What the fuck you got me doing now?
Talking through their teeth and shit. We're talking from trauma, people.
Asian people don't go out. When's the last time you seen Asian people out?
Never.
We gotta stop.
It was a joke. It was a joke.
The second story.
It's always a white and an Asian. Just one. When they're out.
Or a black dude and his Asian girlfriend.
The second story is the same AGM, just a different day, different month, another white person come in here walling. Come in, they start, he offered him to sit him down, the guy didn't want to sit down.
Uh-huh.
He stood in the middle of our small restaurant job and starts calling, saying, like, making threats, like bomb threats, right? He's going to blow the place up, he's going to do this, he's going to do that. my agent was like, I'm gonna just call the cops if you don't chill out, right? Mm-hmm. And the guy's like, so call.
Yeah, instead of taking action, I'm gonna call the cops if you blow us up.
He's about to take action in like the next two sentences. Right. So he starts threatening him instead and goes, call the fucking cops, I don't care. And then again, my AGM was black. With the operator on the line, this man calls my AGM a no-no word that I'm not going to say here.
Good.
Hard ER.
Probably not.
Hard ER. And he doesn't say it under breath. He screams it at him and tells him to call the cop. My AGM tells the dispatch, goes, hold please. And now proceeds to fight this man.
Telling dispatch to hold is fucking hilarious.
I'm gonna call you.
You called
back.
Me.
I'm gonna call you. Called me. Click. Beat this nigga ass.
He already told dispatch about the bomb threat. Mm-hmm. So imagine hearing about the bomb threat and then being told, please hold.
I'm gonna bomb this nigga. Fucking put the beats on this.
And so now he fights again, an old white man, starts beating his ass, drags him outside of the restaurant because you can't beat people's asses in front of other people while they eat. And now a crowd of white people come. Oh my god, why are you hurting him? He's old. Leave him alone. The police officers arrive. One of them is black, and the first thing that flies out this man on the floor is mouth, as he's still being pressed against the floor. He looks at that cop and goes, you fucking! And then all the white people go, oh! Yeah.
The cop pulled out the baton, and you're like, you know what? He does have a bomb on him.
You were wilding. That is a grenade in your pocket.
Whoop is that? Bro, that's the thing. Bro, I miss... That's the other thing that I think what brought everybody online around that whole situation in Alabama. Sometimes I miss a good old-fashioned ass whooping.
Yes, and that's bro.
What was that. It was yes. A good old-fashioned. Everybody was like, the white people were letting hooks off. The black people were letting hooks off. Ultimately, the right side won. It would have been terrible if the group of black people lost that fight because they were in the right from the very beginning. The white people were being menaces.
There's no way that a group of four or five white people was beating 75 niggas.
Yeah.
75 niggas that we saw. Because there was definitely more niggas on that boat.
If it was, and that's the other thing. I feel like if it was just one white dude versus a security guard, none of this happens the way it did.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But because they decided to jump him, now for every one person y'all got, and then it was like a party cruise or some shit like that. So they got a couple drinks in them, too.
Niggas were lit, bro.
You just made their day. You know how many times I go out and it's like a group of us and I'm like, yo, I just wish somebody fucking...
Yeah, please, every time, actually.
Please, give me a reason every to fucking issue. Hook off.
I need an excuse to beat somebody ass.
Bro, no... You saying that you weren't there, Amari wasn't there, y'all showed up after.
I was there.
It was no. You got there after, but when I'm in between the dude and I'm telling the dude, yo, if you take another step, I gotta hook off.
Man, he was right behind you.
Oh, I didn't know. Listen, yeah, the only person I remember seeing was what's his name, Mo?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bro, him, oh my god. I was ready to turn back after the whole thing got de-escalated. I was ready to turn around again and be like, yo, actually, you know what? Because
and another thing,
when somebody who's 6'3" probably or 2 or 4, however fucking big he is, and as jacked as he was, you kind of feel like, oh, I'm ready to hook off now. Now I'm good to go. Because, bro, I'm sitting there and I'm like, yo, it's 8 niggas there. I'm like, it's 8 of them, and right now, all I see is me and Brian.
Nah, I was right behind. Mari actually was in the bathroom.
Yeah, Mari was in the bathroom. But, and then the other dude, he was on the other side of the bar, but he was watching the whole thing happen, and he ran over. So I'm just thinking, I'm like, oh, it's all right. Just me and Brian. We just got to fucking be ready. Oh, my God. Like, it's 8 of them. I'm going to have to hit this first dude as hard as I can. So, like, as I'm doing this, I felt like a cop. Like, my hand was, like, here. So, I'm like, whoa, you getting hooked off. But, you know, just like how he started first, the white people started first. Kenny, what's good with your family, man?
Huh?
What's good with your family?
What do you mean?
Tim Anderson, fucking, he squares up.
Okay, so.
He squares up with a... I don't even remember his name. Jose Ramirez.
All right. So my defense for that situation is the nigga. First of all, Tim Anderson had good mechanics. He came out. He knew what he was doing. He's obviously been in fights before.
But he
did not land a single punch.
He threw 3 punches that perfect form.
Yes.
All miss.
It was great. I thought, oh, he's about to. When I first saw the clip, I was like, oh, he about to get off on this nigga. And then Ramirez hit him with like a wild rabbit punch.
A falling away while hunched over. He has no momentum.
He's just not. He's not looking, bro. He's just
head down,
swung and clipped this nigga on the jaw one time, and Tim falls back and he's in the dirt now.
But that's the worst thing to do when this dude hits 30 to 40 home runs a year.
Mm-hmm.
So all you do to hit a home run is swing.
Yeah.
All you do to throw a ball is you're throwing your arm.
Yeah.
Like, I get Tim Anderson. Tim Anderson had one home run leading to that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Not that much power. He's been having a tough year, too. Couldn't even make contact with a person in front of him.
That's mad funny. So there might be some correlation there. He might have to get his eyes checked. I don't know. Well,
I felt bad, though.
I felt really bad. Because now everybody on the internet's making fun of him and shit. It's kind of tough, but that's just the way it works. He's been having a tough
year.
Yeah.
Cheating on his wife.
Yeah.
Got a girl pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Then broke up with, like, both of them or some shit.
How's that tougher for him? He chose that.
Yeah, but, you know, it came out. It got real ugly.
Bro, like, it didn't have to do that. Like, all that didn't happen. And
then, you know, this happens. He looks like a fool because, like,
apparently he's just been being a dick to niggas, too. Yeah.
Apparently. Oh, he told, apparently, what, because once, you know, you're down, the press, the media wants to get you even lower.
So they put out a story. All the stories start coming out.
Yeah, they put out a story where, like, he told one of his teammates, who's a really good player during the All-Star break, his teammate was like, he wanted to be traded. He was like, you know what? Fuck him. If he don't want to be here, I'll buy his flight right now. And then that dude walked up to him and apparently slapped the fire out of him. But that story came out because of this. But it was crazy because that was the night where the Jake Paul fight with Nate Diaz, and then the UFC fight where the BMF title was on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And before all of that happens, I'm looking on Twitter. I'm like, oh, shit. And then I send it to the chat, and we're breaking down this fight blow for blow.
Oh, my God.
And we're crying. And then, like, 10 minutes later, we see the other angle where we just see that he was actually, like, he got, I don't want to say knocked out, but he got hit. He was dazed for 100%.
Yeah, he was definitely got thrown for a loop off that punch.
When he's falling down, his hands are still in the air. Like, he don't even know that he got caught. So, you know, and then he gets online a couple days later, changes his profile picture to King Von, and starts throwing, like, some subs or, like, weird messages on Twitter. But, you know,
this is what fame does to niggas, bro. I don't know.
He should just be. He's also from Alabama,
bro. Yeah. You know,
he's also from Alabama, so
that nigga might actually be one of my cousins. I was gonna get a Tim Anderson jersey, bro. Like, I've been talking about it for a minute.
Yeah, it's been like 3 years now.
I can't do it now.
Oh, no.
I can't do it. I can't do that shit.
Tangent. You haven't noticed this, or maybe y'all have, but yeah, the listeners, we're in my living room, windows wide open. Y'all hear that silence? Yeah, holy exactly. You heard that silence? It is the Dominican Day Parade today.
Oh, yeah.
And no, we're in Spanish sound Island. At all.
Wow. I didn't even peep.
Yeah.
This is probably the quietest it's been on the
planet. Ever. Like, everybody's down there.
Other than, like, being up at Manny's house.
This oh, yeah, like yeah, but quietest. That's different.
Yeah.
Damn. Like, that means that everybody is walling in that parade right now.
Sound like we at the beach.
You hear the fucking birds in the distance just flying?
I heard two cop signs probably this whole time we've been recording.
Yeah, I'll tell you where they're all going.
They're on 170 right now. Somebody, I know for a fact they're on 161 going up.
Somebody is fucking going to comment, I missed the sound of sirens.
Bro, because I went out of last year's Dominican Day Parade, and the person I was picking up was at, like, a kid's birthday party on 161, and brother, Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah, let me tell y'all right now, 170 to 161, those three train stops, everything under that train, everything in a 3-block radius from the train station, from the train tracks, is a third world country.
Yeah. It's bro, DR. They changed that neighborhood's name.
I'm tired, bro. Every time I go to visit my dad's family, my dad and my grandparents, my uncle, every time I go to that goddamn apartment that I used to live in high school, bro, Dominicans on scooters, no fucking license on the scooter, no helmets. Bro, there's like three
Dominicans. Four niggas on a fucking scooter.
On a scooter just holding the... I'm like, what are we doing here?
I've never knew that you could put four niggas on a scooter.
I got on the highway yesterday. There was a fucking a redheaded Dominican. It's always a redheaded Dominican. Yeah. Doing some dumbass shit, bro. It was a dude and then some redheaded Dominican chick on the scooter on the highway. And I'm like, bro, I'm doing 65, and you're cutting cars off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all you need one is one bump, and you're both of y'all done.
Off this shit. Flying somewhere.
For no reason. I'm like, bro, what are we doing here? But yeah, 170 to 161, fucking DR. Literally, yeah. Third world. Bro, there's garbage everywhere. Bro, Eric Adams, bro, he sucks.
That nigga does nothing.
Bro, I'm paying for those parts. I just got charged $45 for Easy Pass.
Oh, I got charged $130.
Bro, this is $45 for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Bro, I'm paying minimum $25 a week because everybody who's fire lives in fucking Brooklyn and Queens, man. Bro, I'm gonna show you.
Snuck that shit in.
Bro, look at Hinge, by the way. Remember last time we were here, we went on Hinge? Bro, ready? I'm telling you, this girl, we don't even see a girl. Brooklyn, ready? Oh, Upper East Side. Oh, I can see why she's from the Upper East Side.
If y'all saw what that was, just Bali. The jokes would never end.
Yeah.
Her ethnicity starts with an
A. Right, that's ready? I'm going to go to the standout. No, it doesn't. All right, this girl,
fine.
Brooklyn, I promise you, Forest Hills, that's Queens.
Still there, yeah.
Yeah.
This girl, Brooklyn. Williamsburg. This girl, maybe Queens.
She looks like Queens.
Brooklyn.
Oh, Brooklyn. We were both wrong.
My God.
I think Brooklyn again.
Definitely Brooklyn. Downtown Brooklyn.
Right, yeah.
Bro, what is this?
Rising developments.
She's from Queens.
Yeah.
Definitely Ridgewood. From Queens. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Could have told you that one.
Yeah.
Also look at this profile. This is Brooklyn. This is Brooklyn. All
I know
Brooklyn.
Where that is.
Yep.
I also know where that is.
That's right by Soho House.
Ready? She wants to run the New York City Marathon.
I'm going to say Queens.
Kenny? Queens or Brooklyn?
Brooklyn.
I think she's Queens. Roslyn Heights? Where's that?
I think. We're about to Google it.
I've never heard of Roslyn. You know, they're making heights. Shit up.
Yeah. Definitely be making shit up.
They've never
heard of
Heights.
Never heard of Strivers. Never heard of Strivers Row in my life, my nigga. I live in Harlem.
Roslyn Heights is low to the earth, bro. This shit has no. Kimberly. I want to say Queens.
That's Nassau County. She that's lives Queens. In Long Island, bro.
That's Long Island.
Sierra, I'm thinking Crown Heights.
Oh, Crown Heights.
And then finally, Kayla. Kayla.
Queens.
Definitely Queens.
Let's see. Downtown Jersey City.
Wow.
So I don't understand. Like, I want to. One day I'm going to talk to whoever is in charge of like press or whatever for Hinge.
Mm-hmm.
I want to find out why so many girls that are very pretty are from Brooklyn and Queens. I want to know like what's Hinge's numbers on like girls that live in the Bronx and like Manhattan, like Harlem, mm-hmm. and
that
shit like that. Yeah,
I'm not even
standouts. Just in general, all I'm seeing is Queens, Brooklyn, Jersey City.
It's because a lot of these girls are like new to the city, so they're moving to where the new buildings are going. So there's a lot of new buildings in Jersey City, a lot of new buildings in Queens, a lot of new buildings in Brooklyn.
That's where they're going.
So
that makes a lot of sense. And a lot of these girls, the jobs that girls on Tinder work versus the jobs that girls on Hinge work.
Yeah.
The girls on Hinge, office pulling, jobs.
Pro
the,
careers.
And the girls on
careers,
Tinder.
Yeah, careers. The, careers on Hinge.
The girls
on Tinder.
They are unemployed.
You are the job.
You are definitely the job.
That is so... I never even thought about that. But, and it makes sense. If you want to be on Hinge, you got to spend 30 a month. You got
to
spend...
To use it
because you only get like 5 likes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to be on Hinge, you got to spend the bread. So it all makes sense. Yo, you're not seeing girls from the Bronx on Hinge. It hurts my soul.
Funny enough, I said this to Ruben the other day. I was like, I want to be able to find a stand-up before they become a stand-up.
Right? It's never going to happen.
It's never going to happen, but there is a point where they're on the app and they're not a standout yet.
I want to know how ugly Hinge thinks I am. And I am standing. I wish I told you. I want a daily count. Of
bro, it would be so sick if these dating shits told you when you're a hot commodity.
Bro. You know what? Even better. I will pay $50 a month to know who am I a standout to. Because the standouts are algorithm based. Because you've seen all the girls, they all look exact. It says, Manny, you have a type. Brother, you have a type. And listen, while it may not be wrong, I want to know whose type am I. Mm-hmm. And that's where they're fucking up. Show me whose algorithm am I popping up.
They're definitely not showing you to Asians, bro.
And that's, we got to change that. I don't know what I'm going to do with my body.
Hinge.
Here's why I'm messing up.
I checked my Hinge standouts 2 days ago and had an Asian.
You're not watching enough anime, man. I don't. You're not watching enough anime.
But she was Spanish.
None of them are Asian. All of these are just light-skinned Spanish girls. What's
she like? Never mind.
I didn't get anything. And she's probably not there anymore. I didn't take a screenshot. Damn. I remember her name.
Damn.
But you know what? I'm going about this the wrong way. You know, I have a date tomorrow, so you know, I gotta go in
thinking about her.
I gotta go in. I got the stand up. I gotta get off Hinge. You know, only go back to Hinge. Like if it doesn't work out, and even then, let's just hope it works out.
We'll have another Awkward Manny date story.
Oh my god! Listen. This next one is going to decide whether or not I can tell the first one, in the first place. Mm-hmm. So, we shall be seeing what stories will... If I come back the next episode and I'm like, I ain't got nothing for y'all, that means it's going well.
Yeah, okay. All
right. If I don't, it's, you know...
Our nigga's going to be like, oh my god.
Yeah. There's going to be at least two stories there. But, you know... We're like an hour 26 in. I think that's enough.
I don't think
I'm hot as fuck.
Yeah.
I gotta go home and do laundry.
You're about to hit traffic.
Same.
I work at 6 a.m. tomorrow.
You're about to hit traffic.
I might hit traffic, yeah.
It's only three of us today.
Yeah,
like Levante's not in the cut, not talking today. it's just only three of us.
That last episode, I feel like he talked more when we were recording. Then I re-listened. I was like, this nigga didn't talk for an hour.
Yeah, no. The whole time, every time, I would just look over at him sometimes. Because I would notice, this is not nigga's not adding to any of the topics.
Yeah. He also was drinking a couple of brewskis before and during. Mm-hmm. And then ended up, you know, when Levante gets a couple, you know, drinks in, he will fall asleep.
He will fall asleep or act as if the world does not matter. And you know what, bro? I commend that. Yep. I'm not going to lie. I respect it so much.
Which is why the very little he did say, I had to edit out even from there. I was
he was only vocal when it came to one topic.
Yeah. When we brought up the, you know, me and my problem with the Asians or lack thereof.
Yes. I mean, that one you saw was the Upper East Side one.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a dub. It's only because I am trying. I'm best foot forward.
Okay,
you know, with current relationships that I may or may not be having with people. Mm-hmm. With that being said, I think this is the end of the episode. Kenny, I know you are gonna plug. What you're gonna plug?
Kenzo with the Lenzo on Instagram. Kenzo with the Lenzo on TikTok. Kenzo FYM on Twitter. Kenzo's clips.
X. It's no longer Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Fucking
it's Kenzo officially X now.
Yeah, Kenzo FYM on X. That's fucking stupid. Let's see. What else?
How's that rebounding going for them?
They're saying that they're losing mad users.
Those users aren't on fucking
Threads.
Yeah, niggas are just off the internet, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. But, the shirt's still on the way. I'm sorry, y'all. last time we was here, I said shirt's on the way. They're still on the way. I gotta find a screen printer. But yeah, John, what you got to plug?
Nothing. I do the Instagram for my phone. I'm John.
Y'all see me, y'all find me.
He does not have any social media. That is true.
He did delete everything. Yeah. Okay. Wow.
If y'all find my account, y'all can follow it.
Did you delete it? Or
no, just the apps.
Oh, off your phone?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, I'll come back eventually. Yeah. Y'all find me.
Speaking of off my phone, what's been going on in the chat? I've been going for, like,
a week and a half. I've barely been on my phone either, so.
Love it.
Y'all had me back this morning.
And Chris said, yo, would you like to come back? I was like, nigga, I've never been more indifferent about something in my entire life. You could. It would be cool. But if you don't, it would also be cool. I don't care.
Yeah. I'm getting chatted soon. Chatted up. Shout out to 500. All right. This is the episode.
Peace.
Goodbye.
Bye.